Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for the Tech Guy is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com. Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. This show originally aired on the Premier Radio Networks on Saturday, the 6th day of July, 2013. This is episode 993. Enjoy. The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by Gazelle, the fast and simple way to sell your used gadgets. Find out what your used Samsung Galaxy, iPhone, or other smartphone is worth at gazelle.com.
Let's turn off the ringers here. I have quite a few. No sound there. No sound here.
Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy. And it's time to talk about computers, the internet, cell phones and camcorders, MP3 players, home theater and all that jazz. Our Scott Wilkinson, our home theater expert, joins us at 33 and 3rd after the hour. We could talk about anything that's on your mind today at 888-888.
Slow down, Leo. Too much coffee. What is that number again, Heather? 888.
It says here.
888-888-8888. Ask Leo.
Ask with a K, Leo.
Ask. How else would you spell it? With a Q?
Yes, maybe it might.
Asquileo.
Isn't there a computer company, or there was, called Compaq with a Q?
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
You never know.
Behind you, if for those of you watching video, there's a guy named Jeffrey Needles, who is assembling a large Lego masterpiece.
Jeff, wave high.
Wave high, Jeff. You're on the radio, sort of. Not really. Wow. That's going to take him a while. We're trying to do a time lapse of that. I have to find an SD card so we can do a time lapse.
Cue sounds of rummaging.
Do you have a drawer like this? Maybe it's just me. Oh. I think a lot of geeks have a drawer like this. The messy drawer.
You should see the drawer next to my nightstand.
The messy drawer. It's where you throw stuff that has no other real location. And for geeks... Oh, look, here's a micro SD card. You got an adapter? This is 64 gigabyte. Okay. CF. Oh, compact flash?
It's an old camera.
Compact flash? No, I don't have any of that. Compact flash.
That's like the bottom of my purse.
Yeah. Well, yeah, women have that.
You got
to
stick a gun with hair on it?
Yeah. Sure. A mint. A hairy mint.
A Tic Tac.
Lying around. An old Tic Tac. Sure. Geeks have them, but they're full of old gear. They're full of wires and
old batteries. Adapter that fits absolutely
nothing. I have a Nokia adapter that I can't use. Here's an old mouse.
I used to live with one.
False teeth. I don't know what those are for. A mint, an energy shot.
Oh.
But then also there's all these old phones. Mm. Yeah, some of the old phones aren't that old. I have in the back, you know, behind me, I have a museum. We have a... It's kind of funny because in the old studio, this was I was in an old 19th century cottage that was built by a lumber baron here in our little town, and the whole thing, it was a beautiful paneled room because he was a lumber baron. It was a beautiful redwood paneled room, and it had leaded glass cabinet behind me, but it reflected like crazy on the lights in the studio. So we kind of duplicated it behind me, but we left the glass out. So it feels a little like a movie set. My museum behind me. There's no glass. There's just crisscross for the leading where there would be glass. But in there is the original Android phone, the G1 from HTC, the first iPhone from 2007, celebrating its. Sixth birthday this week, actually. There's all sorts of, you know, the original iPod from 2001. All sorts of history the first Google Nexus phone. And well, the only reason I bring this up is because that drawer, you maybe want to make some room in there. Because there's new phones all of a sudden coming out like crazy in the next couple of months. September, we expect to see a new iPhone. And the rumors, oh my goodness, have just this week have exploded on the new iPhone. And they're all completely nutty. Well, one of the rumors is it's not going to be the iPhone 5S, which it would be typically. I mean, that's what they did with the 3, 3G, 3GS, then the 4, 4S, then the 5. I guess it's not been that. It's not the precedent. It's not immutable. It's only been twice in a row. But people say, no, it's going to be the 6. And then there's a huge rumor that Apple's going to launch like 100 new products in September. An army, I think is the word they used, of new products, including multiple iPhones. There's a cheap one. There's an expensive. Go ahead. You can answer the phones. I'm sorry. I leaved your microphone on, and I can leave it off now. I'll shut it off so you may answer the phones. 8888, Ask Leah. That's how this all started. There's supposed to be colored back plastic iPhones, big iPhones, little iPhones, small. I don't believe any of it. I think the rumor mill's just gone crazy. But I do believe there'll be a new iPhone in the fall. September is almost certain time frame. It'll feature the new iOS 7. Some of these rumors are crazy. There's this rumor about a fingerprint reader on the home button has surfaced again. It's an interesting idea, and Apple did buy a company that makes fingerprint readers a year ago, Authentic. Was it Authentic? So, I mean, presumably they have the technology in-house. You never know, though. Companies buy companies, and they don't make anything of it, or they buy them just for the patents, or you never know. And Apple's notorious for this. I can give you, a dozen companies that Apple's purchased and just kind of let disappear. But that would be an interesting idea. You put a thumbprint reader, not just for unlocking it, but for absolute rock-solid verification that you are who you say you are. Because then the wallet in the iPhone, the passport wallet in the iPhone, really can be a real wallet. It could have money in it. It could have credit cards in it. And, this phone would be, better than any credit card because it could, do all sorts of things. You get to the airport, it pops up the boarding card, the QR code right on it. Actually, Google phones do that right now. But this is presumably something Apple might do. Then, of course, there'll be a new Mac Pro sometime this year. We've already seen, they already teased that, the one that looks like a little black cylinder. It's not very big, not much taller than it's a little less tall than a piece of paper. It's nothing like 10 inches tall. But we may also see, I think we will, new laptops. And then the real question is this army of new products going to include a watch or a TV? These are the two products everybody's been going crazy about for years for Apple. And the rumor mill is just a buzzin'. Just a buzzin'. Apparently, Apple had a special leadership meeting this week. Tim Cook talking to the troops. And that might be where all these rumors are coming from. You have a big meeting like that, it's kind of hard to keep a lid on it. Although Apple has been pretty good, and this is why I'm skeptical. Apple has lately been really good at keeping things quiet. But that's not the only new iPhone. There's a new Samsung. Do you like the big phones, the phones that are almost tablets? The Samsung Galaxy Note 2, one of my favorite phones. Sells very well, 5 million units sold. There you go. You got one. I love it, isn't it? It's nice and big. One of our studio audience members has one. The next generation, the Note 3, will be out in September. 5.7 inches. A little bit bigger than that one. But not much bigger in the hand because they're just squeezing the bezel. Higher resolution screen, 3 gigabytes of memory. The Snapdragon 800, which is the new processor. All these new phones will have this very, very fast processor. That's intriguing. We're waiting to hear what Google has to say about this Moto X phone. I have an invitation to go see them on Thursday, and they're denying that it has anything to do with the Moto X phone. Well, I won't, so I got the invitation, and I know, normally I'm kind of hesitant to do these things, but it came from an old friend, and I thought, well, I'll go down and see what it is. And then I got the email saying, and you can't say anything about it for a while. It's what we call embargoed. So all I can say is I'm going to see something. I don't know what it is. And you're not going to hear me say anything about it for a while. I don't normally do this because I'm very bad at keeping my mouth shut. And I talk so much. I mean, I not only do 6 hours of this radio show, I do another 30 hours of other shows all week long on the podcast network. It's so hard for me to remember what I'm supposed to keep quiet, so I don't. But this I will. Because they kind of sucker me in. Now I'm dying to see what could be the new Google phone, the new Motorola phone. What could that be? 8888-ASK-LEO. Let's get to the phones. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Vicky Poodle in our chat room says when she was a genius at the Apple store, they had a iMac, cockroach-infested iMac. So it does happen, I guess, in warmer climes. Wow. We don't know what to do about the eggs. Dr. Mom says you could freeze it. If you kept it below zero for 72 hours, that would kill the eggs, most of them. But that could also kill the laptop. I don't know. Heather, you're making gang signs. Is that are you trying to tell me something?
Well, I thought
line five.
Mark on six.
Line six. Mark and Gardena.
Yeah. Does that make sense, or would the eggs still?
Well, let's see. Mark, what's your idea, Mark? Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Easiest solution of all time. Go to Kmart, Target, go get one of those vacuum seal bags that you put a blanket in that sucks all the air out.
Yeah.
Suck all the air out with a vacuum cleaner. Just let it sit there for a couple of days. Eggs, everything will die.
They'll kill the eggs too, huh?
Yeah, I mean, eggs, they still have to breathe. They have everything has to breathe, oxygen.
So if you... the problem is not a perfect vacuum, is it? But I guess it might be enough.
Yeah, it's a perfect vacuum. It sucks all the air out. It keeps it out for quite a while, and nothing's gonna get in that thing until you pop it open. I use them for food, the little small ones, and they... That's a long time.
I love it. Thank you, Mark.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I appreciate the tip. Carlos in Fort Lauderdale, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Carlos. Hey, Carlos. Hey, yo, Carlos. All right, I'll put him on hold. I think I can do that. I think I have the technology. And go to, I don't know how this stuff works. It might hang up on him. Mike in San Bernardino. No, I'm sorry. George in Venice, Florida. Hi, George. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo.
Hey, George.
Here again.
Nice to talk to you.
I've got my iPhone memory is filled up.
Filled.
I can't even take a picture. It says not enough memory to store it.
Yeah, that happens. If you never pull anything off of it, it's easy enough.
And the problem is that my memory is filled up with audio recordings, and I...
Do you have a computer with iTunes on it anywhere?
Yes, indeed, and I can't find on iTunes where you sync audio files. They've got photographs and other things, but not audio files.
Yeah, well, the first thing you want to do, of course, is pull off all the photos. Are you on a Mac?
Yeah, no, I've got the
PC.
PC.
Yeah, pull it off, and once you pull them off, and you can use a variety of ways to do that on a PC. A number of different programs that'll launch.
I take photos off of the iPad. iPhone all the time.
Okay, no, so it's the audio. It's the audio that's really. And you're using Apple's own recording.
Well, no, it's. I guess it's an app that came off of the Apple Store.
Ah. Okay, that might have something to do with it. If you just use Apple's recording tool, they will show up they'll show up in your iTunes as a kind of music that you can take off in your music library. I think they should still do that. Look in your iTunes and look in the music library of your phone, and you should be able, I believe, even if it's audio recordings that you made on the phone, you should be able to get rid of them that way.
That doesn't show up on the iTunes, though.
You don't see them in the library? No, the library on the phone, right?
So,
when you hook up the phone to the iTunes, there's a library that's, your iTunes library, but then below that there is a device, and that's your iPhone, and you should see the audio there. Now, because it's a third-party program, the other possibility that you might need to do is go into the apps. So you'll also see a section for apps once you hook up the phone. And then as you scroll down to you'll see a list of all the possible apps that are on your computer and on the phone. But if you scroll below that, you'll see a list of apps you can sync. That would be another way to look at it. You need to figure out what is that third-party app doing. You might even just have to go into the third-party app and delete them there. I'm pretty sure you could do that. Then you wouldn't have to hook it up to a computer at all. So there's three different places to look. Certainly with the Apple recorder, you can just look in the library of the phone and uncheck them, and that'll go away. You should, in some cases, with third-party apps, you might be able to do it in the apps section of iTunes. Apps can sync. You can maybe remove it there. And finally, your last resort, and I can't imagine any recording program not giving you the capability of deleting these recordings. I would guess that if you go into the recording app itself, the third-party app itself, that'll give you an option to delete them. One of those three should work. Mike in Portland, Maine. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Mike.
Leo, I have another crazy question for you today.
No cockroaches?
No, not cockroaches, but maybe something of equal value. I'm not sure.
Okay.
My sister-in-law, who's very sweet and very kind, gave me a wonderful gift last weekend, brand new, wrapped up in the box still in shrink wrap. It's a Sony Dash.
A Sony Dash.
What is it?
I think it's a phone, but I'm going to have to check. Is it? Does it have a keyboard on it?
No, it's called the Personal Application Viewer, and the closest I can come when I look it up online is that it's a fancy clock radio that's not supported by Sony anymore.
Oh, I remember this. Yeah, it was kind of like a Chumby.
Yeah.
Dr. Mom had one of these, didn't you, Dr. Mom? The Sony Dash, yeah. So that's a nice gift.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was their version of the Chumby. And the idea was it's like kind of a fancy clock radio. It was a tablet, but it was designed to sit by your bed and then would have the weather and, you know, you could play music and stuff on it. The question is, does Sony still support it? Yeah. Looks like they might. If they do, then you can register it. So if you go to, look up My Dash or Dash and Sony on Google, and you can go to the Sony site and there's a register a button, register or add a dash. Of course, it doesn't seem like it's actually doing anything. There it is. Yep. And you should be able to add the dash there, and then you can put stuff on it. I wonder if you might be able to hack this sucker, put something more useful on it.
I mean, that would be great, because from what I've read and what I've found in research and such, there's a YouTube video from September of last year saying it won't register anymore. Sony has...
Yeah, they probably killed it.
Even though it's there, there's nothing going on. You can't do anything with it. And I mean, there it is, all wrapped up in the box, still in shrink wrap, beautiful, you know, and I don't want to take it out.
Welcome to the land of useless devices. I have a GPS called a Dash that's also defunct because the company that made this thing no longer supports it. But you can hack them. And Red Penguin in our chat room is giving us a link to a website, tested.com, where this is the Chumby too, you could hack them. You could put something on there, maybe put Linux on there, have widgets. In other words, support it yourself. That would be cool, huh?
I'll check that out. I'm in the chat room. I'm main guy in there.
The Dash, get ready for this, can stream Netflix videos.
You see, now that what I saw online, it said that Sony removed...
Oh, but maybe they don't do it anymore, yeah.
Yeah, it removed Netflix. It removed a couple of others.
Anything so your sister never used it. Your sister never used it, huh?
My sister-in-law.
Sister-in-law.
And no, she never used it. And,
she got it as a wedding gift, and now 10 years later, here. It's yours.
Could be
it's yours, Mike. I bet you could hack that. I bet you could hack that. I still have my Chumby somewhere. It was a cool idea. But once Sony doesn't support it anymore, then you have to, you know, somehow either throw it away. It's a shame, though, isn't it? These things. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in there.
It really is, you know, and obviously it gets a signal from the router, and, you know, there should be some way to hack it or use it for something, you know, it would be nice.
Well, if you're in the chat room, you see Da Vinci Wonder saying he views all his Facebook and Flickr photos on his. It still works. Another chatter says, I'm able to watch Netflix on it. So, I don't know. There's a lot of links. We'll put them in our show notes. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. This would be a good time to mention Gazelle, wouldn't it? I don't think even Gazelle wouldn't buy a Dash. They're not crazy. But they will, if you're ready, if you're excited about the new crop of phones coming out, they will at least buy a lot of current phones out there, even BlackBerries, iPhones, of course, a lot of the, HTC, Samsung, LG, Motorola, Nokia. Now, here's the deal. This would be a good time to get a quote. Let's say you have, as I do, just sitting right here next to me, a factory unlocked Galaxy Note 2. It's in, I would say it's pretty, well, let's say good condition. You know, one of the nice things, their data experts will assess the value. So you can say good, and if they'll say, you know what, this is good, this is better than good, we're going to give you a little extra money. They really do that. They will also wipe all the data off of it for you. And the best, what? That's not even possible. $180? Holy moly. That's worth a lot. All right. That's going in the box. The beauty of these quotes, by the way, is they're good for 30 days. So you're not committed to action. You have 30 days to take advantage of their offer. So if you think there's a new iPhone coming out, let's get rid of this old $310 for, wow, that's for the 32 gig. Now we're starting to make some money here. We're going to pile this up here so we can get the new thing. MacBooks, Macs, iPods. Gazelle is a great way to sell your stuff. It's simple. It's easy. They pay the postage on anything worth more than a buck. If you want the Galaxy S4 and you got a Galaxy S3, go to Gazelle. You want an HTC One, you got a Galaxy S4, go to Gazelle. Vice versa, go to Gazelle. GAZELLE.com. They'll even buy broken iPhones and iPads. It's risk-free, 30-day lock-in. You can get paid fast by check, PayPal. You get an Amazon gift card, they'll bump it up a 5%, which is very nice. So if you buy a lot on Amazon, that's a really good deal. Gazelle will pay you in just a few days. They'll send you the box so you can put it in there and the postage too. Gazelle, no wonder they paid over $100 million to 500,000 customers. You should get in on this action. GAZELLE.com. Keep it moving. The best way to recycle your gadgets, give it to somebody who wants it. Gazelle.com. And you don't know where to go to. This guy's name is... Do you remember this, Heather? Remember his name?
Falco, no.
Taco. You were close. Taco.
To the suit?
I haven't. I don't know. Nathan is our musical director, and he is a mysterious fella.
Mysterious and wonderful.
Putting on the Ritz. 8888 Ask Leo. Put on the phones. Let's go to Mike in San Bernardino, our next caller. Hi, Mike. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Good morning, sir. How are you today?
I am well, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm a first-time caller, although I've tried several times to get through to you.
Taint easy.
I've been successful.
Yeah. So. Well, imagine. We have six lines. We could have more lines, but we don't want to keep people on hold for days. So yeah, we have six lines and over a million listeners, so it's kind of hard.
Okay. Well, I'm not calling about cockroaches today.
Oh, good. Okay. I'm relieved.
What I am calling about is my wife bought me a Nook HD Plus 9-inch tablet.
Nice.
And my question has to do with virus protection. I mean, obviously, it's got all the Nook reader capabilities on it, but it's a full-fledged tablet.
Yeah.
Also, and my question has to do with virus protection on it.
I don't really think it's an issue yet. I keep waiting for, I'm calling it smartphone apocalypse, where these devices are always on the internet. They're just begging to be used. A phone somewhat more so than a tablet, but still, why don't they get hacked as much as computers? I don't know what the answer is to that. It is an Android device, that Nook, although, you know, they've covered up the Android with the Nook interface.
I
run this on all my Android devices. I'm not sure if it runs on the Nook or not. You can only buy stuff from the Nook store, is that right?
I believe, I haven't really done a lot of research, but I believe you can actually go to
the Play Store.
The Play Store and get some stuff.
So here's what I would do. I would use Lookout, which is free on the Play Store. And all Lookout really, it's not exactly an antivirus, but it's good because it's lightweight and it does some protection. What it does is it scans the app when you download and install an app and checks it against a database to make sure it's not got anything malicious in it. And this is more important now because there is a Android virus out there, or hack, I should say, an exploit, that is a little of concern. It was just announced this week, and the statement from the guys, and we haven't seen it yet, although it's Blue Box Security's announced this. We're going to see it at the Black Hat Hacker Conference a little bit later on in this year, I think next month in Vegas. But according to Blue Box, 99% of Android devices can easily be hacked in such a way that the bad guy could gain access to everything. The problem is that they could insert this malicious code into a benign application. So my strong recommendation is to get your apps from known quality sources. So that would be either the Barnes & Noble Nook Store or the Google Play Store. I would put Lookout on there because Lookout will have a database of known dangerous apps. And I would keep an eye out for patches. Now, unfortunately, Barnes & Noble's not doing very well with the Nook, and I'm not sure how often they're going to update this thing. The only phone up to date to be patched is the Samsung Galaxy S4, which is probably the number one selling phone right now in the Android space. But if you have a Nexus phone from Google, if you have an HTC, if you have an LG, if you have a Motorola Droid, you're vulnerable, and these companies have to go out and update their software. It's not a difficult thing to fix, apparently, but they need to fix it. Blue Box has informed the companies on what the issues are. They haven't told the public yet for obvious reasons. But you can bet as soon as they put out this press release that the bad guys started to look. So Nook, you know, is going to be because BNN is kind of phasing the Nook out, I think they're trying to find a buyer. Might be less likely to be protected. On the other hand, it's probably less likely to be hacked. Be careful what you install. You don't need to install a lot of apps on a Nook. And I would put Lookout on there. I think that's the best bet. If you're buying from the Play Store, it's highly likely you're okay. So the deal with that is not so much that Google vets these items, because they don't vet them particularly, but they're at least to somebody paying attention. And should one of these items be dangerous, Google has a kill switch they can throw and remove that app from your device. There are antiviruses out there. I don't know if they work any better than Lookout because of the nature of the way the phone works. I'm not sure I'd recommend an antivirus. I think Lookout's fine. You just want something that will check your downloads and make sure that it's, you know, not known to be bad. I wouldn't worry right now, Mike. I think the problem with these phones is there's such limited memory, there's such limited CPU power that you don't want something always running in the background. It'll just kill your battery. So Lookout's, to me, what I use, and I think more than adequate. Phil in Van Nuys, and it's free. Phil in Van Nuys, Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Oh, hi, Leo. I needed your expertise on this. I got a new computer a couple of months ago because my old one died, and it seems I've had a lot of problems just right off the bat. And one of them is that the Windows update went out of whack right away.
Yeah.
And I had a technician come out to see if he could fix it, and he spent a couple hours on it. He was my regular technician, and he couldn't fix it after about 2 hours. So he said the only thing left for him to do would be to come back and reinstall the operating system.
Which is generally the best thing to do. It's too bad. I mean, this is the only problem you have is that you can't do updates.
Right.
Yeah.
So the operating system has to be reinstalled?
Well, it doesn't have to be, but that's if he, you know, this guy sounds like he's, I mean, presuming he knows what he's doing. So what happens, it's not unusual if an update, this is kind of a natural flaw in a system that allows automatic updates. If an update fails for whatever reason, and there are lots of reasons an update could fail, permissions, for instance, on a folder that should be writable or is not writable, the update can't continue, and then the entire update process gets jammed. It cannot continue until that update is cleared. That's almost always what happens. Microsoft has a whole update troubleshooter you can look at. I presume your guys do.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if I should call Microsoft.
No, don't call them, but go, but on their knowledge base, support.microsoft.com. You can, if you just search for stuck update, you'll find a whole troubleshooter that you can walk through. I'm going to presume that this is the guy. This is what the guy did. If he knows what he's doing,
he disconnected the whole thing. He got the Windows updates turned off completely.
Well, that's the wrong solution. Uh-huh. I mean, in effect, that's what's happening because you're stuck. But it's so important that you run these Windows updates. If you don't run these Windows updates, you're just cruising for a bruising. You're waiting. You're a sitting duck for any bad guy on the internet. Because what happens when there's an update? And Microsoft does this the second Tuesday of every month. It puts out updates, critical updates that fix flaws in the computer. And the bad guys wait and they look and they say, "Oh, well, yes, let's see. What did Microsoft fix?" Now the fix doesn't say what's wrong, but it gives them a very good way, place to look. Ugh. There seems to be something wrong with the run DLL. What is that? Could be. Let's go look. And it gives them a roadmap. So within usually a day of the patches being shipped by Microsoft, the bad guys have figured out a way to take advantage of computers that weren't patched. Do you see? So the patch is a fix, but it's only good if you can install it. So a Microsoft Windows machine that cannot install critical updates is just a sitting duck. So you've got to unstuck this logjam. And, Microsoft has a troubleshooter. There's fix-its. There's all sorts of things you can try. I'm going to presume that your tech guy is smart enough to have done that. But if he hasn't, then you can go ahead and try it. Don't call Microsoft. They'll charge you $99. It's probably not worth it. Big Ginge reminds me that ESET.com, ESET.com, one of our sponsors, I should say, has a services fixer that sometimes will fix this. If you install an update that doesn't finish, it just can't do any more updates because it's an unknown state at this point. It cannot do more. Each update builds on the update before it. So you got to fix it. And it's really important that you do. If you've done everything you can do, you've run the software, we'll put links in our show notes at Tech Guy Labs to the various programs, the Microsoft Fix-It page, the ESET services fixer. If that doesn't do it, then yes, you do need to reinstall Windows. It's just not worth it. It's just not worth it because you're in effect out there without any protection at all. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. Well, a good day to you, Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. 8888 Ask Leo is the number for those stations listening live. A lot of Twitter traffic about a plane crash in San Francisco, a 777 from Asiana Airlines. And while it's not on CNN yet, I think Fox has a story. And for those stations taking us live, you might want to check with your newsrooms. The FAA is confirming a Boeing 777 operated by Asiana Airlines crashed while landing at SFO, according to NBC News. 8888 Ask Leo. Apparently, it's interesting because this news comes from Twitter. It's been on Twitter for 5 minutes. We've been watching the Twitter updates. Apparently, they have slides and passengers are evacuating, so that could be good news. We'll see. 8888 Ask Leo. That's the phone number to call if you want to talk about tech. This just shows you nowadays, social media is the source for a news. Faster and not always accurate, admittedly, but now CNN's covering it. If you want to keep up with what's going on, I'll tell you, when I hear something's happened, I often go to Twitter first. What a change that is. But it is so important, I think, that people understand that, it's happened before, that erroneous reports on Twitter. So you have to take everything with a grain of salt. But once I think we started to learn how to vet stuff. Once you see a lot of tweets from different sources, course, pictures, and there were a lot of pictures coming across Twitter immediately. And then you check the news channels. And what is, it's interesting, what is CNN showing? They're showing YouTube video. That's all they've got. They've got YouTube video. Amazing. Well, I hope everybody's okay on that flight, and we'll keep you posted. 8888-ASK-LEO is the phone number. Going back to the phones, let's go to Frankfort, Kentucky. Chris is next on the line. Hi, Chris. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo. This is Chris Ziegler.
Hey, Chris. Nice to talk to you.
I was wondering, how can I move my contacts from iCloud to like Gmail or someplace else? Because it's stuck in that V card crud, and I can't.
Yeah, I'm not crazy. I'm not crazy about iCloud. More and more, what I'm telling people, even if you're using an iPhone, an Apple device, or app address book on OS X, Google's the place to store contacts, calendars, and to-do lists. They've really figured out the best way to do this. And the painful moment is going to be moving to Google. But once you've got everything on Google, I think you're done. You can, you know, all of Apple's OS X apps will sync with your Google account. Even your iPhone, you log into your Google account and boom, everything's there. Certainly if you're using Android, it's the only thing that makes sense. The problem, of course, is that first move, and I guess that's what you're talking about, Chris. You can export, and Google Calendar will import in almost any form or fashion. Here's what I would suggest. Chris, are you using a Macintosh?
I'm using a Windows laptop.
Windows, okay. If you had a Mac, the best thing to do would be to sync it with the address book. Address book lets you back it up, and I would back it up before you make any changes, and then export it out of the address book.
How are you going to get it once it gets on the computer and you've got it out of the address book? How do you get it to the CSV, which is that?
Because Google will import it. It's called CSV is comma separated values. It's a standard format. But the V-card format or the CSV format or even tab-separated, Google will import. So it's messy because there may be, you know, you may create duplicates and so forth. So what I always suggest when you're making this kind of a move is back up every step of the way, right? Make a copy every step of the way. And then once you get over to Google, go through it on the web through Google. Very carefully, get it just the way you want it, delete duplicates, all of that stuff. Save that out. That's now your perfect address book in case of duplication once you start synchronizing. If you make backups every step of the way, you're going to have a good copy. And by the way, it's great to do it onto Google. Once you have it on Google, turn off syncing from other places, and I think you're done. I don't think you'll ever have to do this again. So there's a point of pain right now. But once it's done, it's done. And even on calendars, Google has gone back on the... Originally, Google said, we're not going to support the open standard, CalDAV standard anymore. And there was such a howl of pain. It's rare that Google does this. Google backed down and said, oh, I guess we will. So the only issue you're going to have is Microsoft Windows Phone. That's unfortunate. It's one of the reasons I don't use a Windows phone. It's kind of tricksy to get it to work. But it's worth doing it. 8888-ASK-LEO. Sandra in Anaheim Hills, California. Hi, Sandra. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, nice to talk to you.
Thanks for calling.
I've had a whole bunch of Wi-Fi issues, but the most recent one that I've landed on is with my iPad.
Yeah.
Actually, they sent me to the Apple Store first, and the Apple Store said I had to replace my chip. I went to the
What's going on? Just tell me what's going on first.
Well, what's going on is that my iPad is hardly working half the time with the Wi-Fi service. So it's searching or it's not connecting half the time.
Okay. Replacing the chip is not doable on an iPad. That's a new iPad.
Oh no, the card for the AT&T hookup.
You know? The SIM chip.
Yes.
That's not it either, because Wi-Fi is not going through the SIM chip. Has nothing to do with that.
Oh.
So whoever's talking to you is a nitwit.
Well, they mostly are, especially at AT&T.
Yeah, we'll just put a new SIM chip in. That has nothing to do with Wi-Fi. You could take the SIM chip out and Wi-Fi still works. Had nothing to do with it. So it is true that some iPads, Apple stuff seems to have trouble with Wi-Fi, I'll be honest with you. The new MacBook Airs notoriously having problems with Wi-Fi, and Apple's trying to track it down. I do remember, how old is your iPad?
It's 3 years old.
That was the generation that had some problems.
Oh, great.
Go to Apple.
Again?
Oh, you already went?
Yes.
What do they say?
Well, they said go to AT&T. They gave me the chip.
They said go to AT&T?
Yeah, they gave me the chip for AT&T, but they said AT&T had to program it.
Yeah, they have to activate it. But that's so, are you sure it's Wi-Fi you're having trouble with?
Yes, it is.
Why would they do that? That has nothing to do with Wi-Fi.
Because that's what I've been experiencing with them.
I don't understand. Well, but they must have decided that there was a issue with your AT&T connection. Because the Wi-Fi is separate. So so you have a Wi-Fi access spot at home?
Yes, I do.
Like an airport or a Linksys or something like that?
No, I just purchased but haven't activated it, the new Verizon hotspot.
Okay, but you haven't activated it.
No, because I had trouble getting...
So how are you getting Wi-Fi? Where are you getting Wi-Fi?
I'm getting it from my house, which is an AT&T router.
Okay, so you have AT&T internet service.
Correct.
And they have they gave you one with antennas, so you have wireless in there. And when you go into your settings, you search for it. It shows up the name that you gave it, right?
Correct.
And the password. You click that, and you enter in the password in, and then do you see it? Connect? Does it say connected? Do you have bars on it?
Yes, okay. I do. And then it goes into the mode of searching, and then it goes no service.
Got it. Yeah, that's a notorious problem with iPads.
Okay.
And I have to say that Apple is, I don't know why Apple. Well, okay. Somebody in the chat room said that the older iPads did need to be activated via a SIM before you could get Wi-Fi. I don't believe that, but that's maybe the case. I can't understand why they had anything to do with AT&T. Wi-Fi is right or not. Go back to the Apple store. Say, fix the Wi-Fi, please. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888, ask Leo. I've just retweeted a tweet from a fellow named David Eun, E-U-N, who apparently was on the flight, the Asiana flight that just crashed at SFO. He's got a picture so close to it that I think it must have been a passenger getting off the plane. You can see evacuation slides on the mid door and the front door. You can also see that the tail is missing from the plane. There's some smoke coming off of the plane, but the plane itself looks relatively intact. He says, I just crashed, landed at SFO, tail ripped off. Most everyone seems fine, thank goodness. I'm okay. Surreal. So that just, again, shows you the power of social media. There's also somebody in his picture taking a picture, and I'm sure that there's a number of people who immediately got off the plane and started tweeting. Pretty remarkable. It does look like while the landing gear was crushed, that the fuselage is mostly intact. And it doesn't look like smoke's coming out of the fuselage. So that would be good news. So, amazing, amazing story. 8888 Ask Leo. And there's a tech angle, as there is with most everything these days, and that is how quickly social media informed people. And how many people are listening? It's interesting, on the web to emergency services radio from the airport, from police and fire. Somebody is tweeting that there were 290 passengers on the plane, one infant, according to the San Francisco Fire's live audio feed. We're seeing videos now and pictures from people getting off the plane. Just to repeat, a Boeing 777 looks like Asiana Airlines, not sure where it's flying from, crash landed in at SFO just about 20 minutes ago. And Twitter, the first place people learned about it. Pretty amazing. 8888 Ask Leo. We'll go back to the phones. I imagine most of the stations taking the show live have already gone to news coverage. But, of course, we must soldier on, for those of you not listening live. Diane in Riverside, California. Hi, Diane. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi. I sure hope you can help.
I will try, Diane.
I did a terrible thing.
Oh, no.
Yeah. You know how you assign a keystroke to a particular symbol?
Yeah.
Well, for some reason, I needed to use the cent sign a lot the other day, which I can't explain that either. But I assigned Command C to it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, no. Now you can't copy anymore.
That's correct.
Yeah. Well, that's easy to fix. You're on a Mac, I take it.
Yes.
Yeah, because I heard the command word, so that means you're on a Mac. So you're going to go to your system preferences.
Okay.
And I think you're going to go to keyboard.
Okay.
And there's a keyboard shortcuts tab there. And
okay.
You'll see all the shortcuts, including application shortcuts. And you can just... You know, worst case, there's a big restore defaults button for people who accidentally do this. Yeah, because you can't copy anymore, can you?
No,
yeah.
I can't.
Yeah, I would just, unless you've assigned a lot of keystrokes in the past and you don't want to lose those, I just restore defaults.
Oh, okay. Oh, boy, I'm safe. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's not a bad thing, really. In fact, it's a good idea. But you know that option, I think it's option dollar sign will give you the cents key.
Option dollar sign.
Yeah, let me just try it on my Mac in front.
Okay.
I have in front of me because I want to. Because then once you know that, then you actually in effect have a shortcut for it, don't you?
Yeah, I guess you do, huh?
Yeah. Let me just try it here and see if it works. I think it was option dollar sign. Yes, it is.
Option dollar sign.
Yeah.
I see it actually on the keyboard. That's great.
Or option four. I mean,
the
reason I remember it is because the dollar sign is dollars, and if you hit option, then that would make sense. It'd be cents.
Yeah,
right?
It makes sense. Yes.
So there's not. It's not shift option. It's just option four.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, great. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. My pleasure. I love problems that are this easy to solve. I wish they were all this easy. That's on a Mac only, of course. Carlos, Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Well, thank you for taking my call.
Thanks, Carlos. What can I do for you?
I'm looking for a digital camera to take pictures of a quarter-scale RC car that I'm building.
Oh, fun.
Plus all the parts and everything that goes with it.
Yeah, what you want is what's called a macro lens. Macro means you're shooting something at a one-to-one size. So when you use a macro lens on something that is a quarter scale,
mm-hmm.
you in effect, are going to make it fill the screen, which is what you want.
Okay.
Right? So many, many cameras have macro capabilities. Even point-and-shoot cameras have macro capabilities.
Lighting aside, because I know I'm
important. Yeah, lighting's tricky. Yeah, and you're probably going to want to use a little tripod because it's hard to focus and it's hard to hold steady when you're in a macro mode.
Yeah. Does the Canon PowerShot FX500IS has micro feature?
I bet it does. Quick, easy way to do that would be go to dpreview.com, where they review all the cameras, and they have a very nice table of capabilities. Now that you know what you're looking for, it shouldn't be too hard. You're looking for one-to-one macro. One-to-one macro. Now, if you're willing to get a very fancy... Oh, that was a Samsung executive that was tweeting. David Eun. Wow. If you're willing to get a very fancy camera, you know, a SLR, there are specialized macro lenses that give you very high capability. But on a point-and-shoot, usually, in fact, NW is telling me this in the chat room on the Canons, it's a flower icon. So it's a special scene mode with a flower icon. Try it. Okay. If you've got, do you not have the camera, or is it a camera you already have?
No, it's the one I'm looking at because they have it for, it's $299 to have it for $199 in a few places.
Yeah, that's
online.
It's a great camera. Just, yeah, you need to check if it has macro mode first.
Okay.
Yeah, and so, you know, sometimes they fake it. The best macros, you know, you sometimes see beautiful flower or bug pictures, you know, a bee pollinating a flower. Those are macro shots. When you get something that is essentially real size, which is kind of, you know, filling the frame, that's a macro mm-hmm. shot. Sometimes they call it one-to-one.
Okay.
All right?
I appreciate it.
I think that's a nice, that PowerShot's a very nice camera. I bet you anything it does a pretty good job. Eliza in Florence, Southern California. Hi, is it Eliezer or Eliza?
Eliezer.
Eliezer. Nice to talk to you.
Hi, Leo. Oh, before I go into my question, can you imagine all those people in midair checking their Twitter account?
You know, a friend of mine, Dave Weiner, is tweeting. He says, I'm 45 minutes out of SFO. What's going on? And people are tweeting him back. Twitter is an amazing communication platform, and I know that some schools even are now using Twitter for emergency communications. They're looking into using Twitter in emergencies. It is kind of an amazing story, you know?
Yeah, but that's not what I want to listen to when I'm about to land.
yeah, you know, but on the other hand, I think information's good. Information's good, you know? The more we have, the better.
Well, my question is the following. I know you have phones with the four major cell carriers.
Yeah. Hang on a bit. We got to take a break at the bottom of the hour. I hear the magic music, but you'll be next as we return. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Well, it's kind of a tough time, but Johnny Jett, our travel expert, joins us every week at this time to talk about travel. Johnny, you're back from your incredible vacation.
I'm still traveling. I'm actually in Erie, Pennsylvania, visiting my dad.
And Johnny, how many miles a year do you fly commercial? Thousands? Hundreds of thousands?
No. About a couple hundred thousand, almost. A
couple hundred thousand. So when you see a crash like this, it must be chilling.
It's devastating. I had goosebumps. I almost started crying, and then I started reading. That looks like almost... supposedly everyone survived, but I mean, it's still very early.
The pictures I'm seeing on CNN, the plane is entirely burned out at this point, although this is where social media was really quite interesting. We were all watching Twitter. That's how we first learned about it. Right. And in fact, there was an airline captain in studio with us during it, and he was the one who informed me. I guess he was following it somewhere. And the most important tweet so far of the day was from a guy named David Eun, who's apparently a Samsung executive. He posted a picture on Path, which was later tweeted, that it was obviously right outside the plane after evacuation. He says he believed everybody got off, that the tail had fallen off during landing.
And pictures are just devastating.
It looks like there was quite a fire after the fact.
But it really reminds me of 9/11, of the Miracle on the Hudson with Captain Sully.
Yeah, because whoever was flying that plane, a flight from Seoul, Korea, in the very last stages of the flight, and whoever was flying that plane got it down safe and sound. Apparently, the landing gear crushed, and they're not on the tarmac; they're off the runway.
So the most promising tweet so far was from the SoCal EMS Fire, at SoCal EMS Fire, and it says SFO update 303 SOB, all at 303 accounted for.
Amazing.
So.
Amazing. Yeah. Now, of course, dramatic pictures from Channel 2 in San Francisco on CNN and elsewhere, helicopter pictures, and that plane is devastated. Apparently.
And also, if you get on the hashtag SFO, it's just flying through, and there's all kinds of updates. You just don't know who to trust or what.
Well, so and that's the important message. Yeah, that's the important message, is you can read a lot of stuff on Twitter. How much of it is accurate is unknown. But, you know, when you start seeing multiple tweets saying the same thing, not repeating each other, but actually with different information, I think it starts to become more credible. And boy, it's just.
For sure. And those flying out of SFO today or going into SFO, right now it's closed. If you go to fly.faa.gov, you'll see the flight delay information for all of America, Air Traffic Control System Command Center. And you'll see there's a little orange dot on SFO. If you click it, it will tell you it says airport closed.
Due to aircraft. Accident, airport closed to operations. There's a traffic management program, ground stop. And I imagine that's gonna be for a while. So expect some.
It's gonna be for a while.
Significant.
So
delays.
If you really have to get out, I would go out of Oakland or San Jose, and I'm sure some of the flights are gonna be rerouted. You know, in the international flights, you know, they might be going to San Jose or LA even probably.
Yeah.
But also make sure you sign up for all the flight alerts from your airline, whatever airline you're flying, and follow them on Twitter. to stay abreast. But right now, all we can do is pray for these passengers.
Yeah, yeah. And just a terrifying thing. Now they're saying, that eyewitnesses are saying that the plane hit tail first, and that's what happened, that it broke off the tail, crushed the landing gear. But the picture that David posted shows essentially attacked, unlike the pictures we're seeing now, an essentially intact airplane except for the tail, and people getting off via the escape slides on the left-hand side of the plane. So hope everybody got off safe and sound.
Let's do it. And remember, it's really important to listen to the flight crew and watch the safety video. I know no one wants to watch it. And usually when I'm sitting on there, you know, everyone's trying to do their last minute messages or whatever. Just take the 2 minutes. And then when you get off the plane in a kind of emergency like this, make sure you don't grab your bags and hold anyone up, because, you know, seconds are everything to saving lives. Yeah. It looks like this is the case.
Yeah, no kidding, because the plane is now a burnt out hulk on the ground there.
You just got to get off as fast as possible.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, and if you're sitting in an exit row especially, please pay attention and to instructions and do the right thing. Obviously, whoever was in the exit row there did the right thing. They were able to get the escape slides out and people off the plane pretty darn quickly.
Right, and actually, when I was flying last week, I was in Budapest flying to – or I was London-Budapest. And I was sitting in the exit row, and there was a Chinese couple who just came on the plane, and they said, "Do you speak English?" And they did not speak English. Actually, they were Japanese, and they just nodded. And she's like, "Okay, you speak English." And then I said,
"No."
I said, "You want to switch seats? I'll switch seats with you to the window, so I'm the first one to open up the thing, just so you know." I mean, And I've actually been kicked off out of the exit seat in some country because I didn't speak their language, even though everyone was speak English. I don't remember which country it was.
Yeah,
but it's just important.
Take it seriously. Yeah, I've sat with my son in exit rows, and I've actually explained to him what's going on and shown him what he will need to do if he needed to do it. And, wow. But it looks like, and we're crossing our fingers, a successful evacuation.
Yeah, it looks like this is a very happy day if everyone got off.
Is there
happy for Asiana.
Any other places people can go for information on stuff like this?
Right now Twitter is the go-to place. And again, you can use the hashtag SFO, and you'll see all kinds of breaking news and people who are some of the passengers are tweeting their stuff. And then, again, that FAA, and if for those who are flying out. And obviously, I think you guys are doing a good job talking about it right away. I mean, this just happened.
Yeah. It's really, really shocking to watch something like this play out.
I'm trying to look at my feed.
Yeah.
You know, BuzzFeed was doing a good job, too.
They're trying to become a news source, which is interesting. Yeah. Up to now, I've thought of them as a place to find out what people are talking about on the net, kind of a meme machine. But they've hired a lot of journalists, and they're really trying to become a source of news and information. Isn't that interesting?
And NYC Aviation is a good one to follow. On Twitter. And the same thing with BuzzFeed. I mean, that's how some of these pictures came out that I saw first was from BuzzFeed.
I would also go to Johnny Jett's page, johnnyjett.com. or actually your Twitter, Johnny Jett, @JohnnyJett, because you have a number of lists that are very useful on your Twitter feed. Airlines.
I have
so
every
forth.
Airline, every airport. And, I tweeted a couple of things. I'm looking at my tweet deck right now. I've already had over 200 retweets on one of the tweets from just now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's just amazing how fast Twitter works.
Yeah. Well, John, I hope your flights are all safe. You know, one of the things that I was telling my son as we flew home from Denver last week, he was saying, "I'm a little nervous about flying. I'm kind of scared." And I said, "You know, it's safer than it ever has been."
It is.
It's really kind of remarkable, in fact, how safe air travel has become.
It's safer to fly than it is to drive. And, you know, recently I've landed on a British Airways flight. And right when we landed at LAX, the captain said, "The safest part of your journey is now over.
Yeah.
So please be careful driving home."
I told Henry that too. But it's, you know, when you're flying through the air at several hundred miles an hour, it's kind of hard to believe.
I get nervous. You know, after watching the movie Castaway with Tom Hanks, that crash scene just freaked me out. So whenever I fly to the South Pacific or Hawaii or Australia and I'm going over the ocean, and that comes in my mind, and it just, you know.
They don't show those on the airplanes, those movies, do they?
They actually did.
JohnnyJet.com, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888, ask Leo. That's the phone number, 888-827-5536. Going back to the phones. Let's see. We got a lot of calls, so let me get to... I think we started talking with... now I forgot. Was it Greg and... Who was I talking to?
You have Elijah.
Eliezer. That's Eliezer. Right. Gosh, there man. You go. Eliezer. I'm sorry, Eliezer. Sorry. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Don't worry about it. My iPhone contract is up. AT&T iPhone. It's up next month. And I was looking into T-Mobile, unlock plans.
Yeah, they're great deals. In fact, there's a hidden plan. If you don't make a lot of phone calls on T-Mobile, there's a $30 a month unlimited text and data, but you only get 100 minutes of talk time a month. $30.
Will Skype work on the data plan? I mean,
yeah.
Because that sounds excellent.
Yeah. It's good luck finding it. You can only get it on the website. You have to dig around. It's in their... it's in their play-as-you-go plans, I think. I found it once.
Can you post a link?
I'll find it again. I'll put a link in our show notes at techguylabs.com. A number of people I know have it. In fact, somebody here has it. And, if you don't make a lot of phone calls or say you want to use Skype instead. Now, of course, what is unlimited data is something up for grabs. Every company's different. I have a T-Mobile phone that I have the $70 everything plan. That's unlimited everything. And I asked him, I said, well, come on. You're going to throttle me after a certain amount of time. They said, nope. Now, whether that's true or I don't know. But they said, nope, we don't throttle you. It's unlimited. But a lot of these, quote, unlimited plans are unlimited, but after 5 gigabytes, they slow you down so much you won't want to use it anymore. So I would inquire.
I asked the rep, about, bringing in a Nexus device, I can buy one from,
Sure. Any unlocked GSM phone should work fine.
Well, he said I will be stuck with 2G speeds.
Ah, okay.
Not one of the pre-approved ones.
Yeah, so that's what you'll have to do, and you may not be able to get that information at the T-Mobile site. Pre-approved just means they looked at it. What you need to do is you can go, there are lots of sites you can look at. You need to find out if it supports all of the radio frequencies. And the one that is key to you, if you use a lot of data, is HSPA Plus. That's the fastest 3G speed on the T-Mobile network. They do have LTE, apparently, but I don't know where. Nowhere I go. But HSPA Plus on T-Mobile is very fast because there's so few customers that you're not sharing that data, and it's capable of LTE speeds. I very happily use T-Mobile in my small town, but when I travel, I often pull out the AT&T phone because I'm just not getting good speeds in some areas. So you have to kind of look around, and depends on where you are and so forth. And I don't know about Florence whether T-Mobile's great there or not, but
so if it says HSPA,
you're looking for HSPA Plus capability. And the T-Mobile frequency. So it's really just a couple of Google searches. First, to find out what HSPA frequency is for T-Mobile, and then to find out if that phone supports that frequency.
Okay. Do you know if the Nexus 4 from LG supports it?
The Nexus 4 doesn't do LTE. I think a lot of people use it on T-Mobile, and I'm pretty sure it gets HSPA Plus. Yeah, that's a nice phone.
I don't need LTE.
No. Well, you can't. Yeah, on T-Mobile, you don't.
Exactly.
Yeah, on T-Mobile, you don't. But HSPA Plus goes up to 42 megabits on T-Mobile. That's pretty fast.
Mm-hmm.
And I will put a link. It's in the prepaid phone plans. You know, they hide it because I think they want people to use it if they're smart enough to find it. We'll put a link in the show notes. But what you do is you'll see these prepaid plans, and if you scroll way down to the bottom in fine print, $30 a month, unlimited web and text with 100 minutes talk, and then it says, yeah, you're throttled at 5 gigs. But 5 gigs of data is a lot, even if you're using Skype. T-Mobile sells the Nexus 4, so I'm pretty sure a Nexus 4 you'd get at Google would be just fine.
I usually use less than 2 gigs on my plan anyway.
Yeah. So this is $30 a month. it's only for somebody. But, you know, nowadays, I think a lot of people don't use the phone for a phone. And if they do, they'll use data instead.
Okay.
So $30 a month, unlimited web and text, 100 minutes talk. For a lot of us, that's exactly what we want. I'll tell you, there are a lot of geeks around here who use this plan. They're very happy. But I would check, you know, all the caveats. Somebody's saying it's only good for 90 days. I don't know if that's true, but I would want to find out about that.
All right. Thank you.
Hey, good. Enjoy your phone. Take care. 8888 Ask Leo. It's a complicated world. and the companies make it that way. They don't want it to be easy to figure out what their deals are, what their plans are. They want the more confused the consumer, the happier the phone company. Bob in La Cañada, California, you're next. Hi, Bob. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo. Thank you for taking my call. I had a situation where I was supposedly sent 3 emails notifying me of a certain event. I did never receive them. Okay. The fourth email I got was from the specific person who was in that program, accusing me of ignoring the first 3 emails. Now, I didn't understand it because I never got the 3. So it's a he said, she said that I received the emails when in fact I didn't. So
nobody should assume email is a perfect system.
Right.
Any more than the U.S. mail is a perfect system. You ever have any mail go wrong?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The problem is that the only thing, and I asked her to send me copies of the emails that I supposedly missed. The only thing I can think of is that it looks like the first 3 emails came out as a system-generated email, okay?
Yeah, you probably, in all likelihood, who's your email provider?
It's Yahoo.
In all likelihood, Yahoo, which has fairly aggressive spam filtering, decided it was spam.
And that's the only logical because it, you know, logical reason that I can come up with, because if you look at the emails, the address that it was sent to, it is my address.
Okay. Yeah, but if it was sent to your address and 100 others.
No, I understand. I understand. But here's what happened. Then the 4th correspondence I had, I got it from a specific person, and that came through telling me that they were not happy with me ignoring the first 3. And I told them, I never got them. Yes, you did.
Yeah.
You know, no, you didn't. I mean, so.
Well, you can't, but you can say, prove that I got them.
Well, that's what I'm trying to do.
You can prove you sent them. Yeah. You can't prove I got them. Do you have a read receipt? I didn't get it.
No,
that's what you're asking them. Show me your read receipt because you have to prove I got them. I didn't get them.
Yeah.
And you know, it is a he said, she said, because they can say they sent it. They may not have said it.
Well, I have copies of what they sent, and it supposedly came to me, but I say never got to me to my desk. Now, you know, my spam filter is, and I get 300-400 letter spam messages a day.
Yeah.
I don't even read them. I just get rid of them. So, I may have received it, but I just got rid of it. Okay.
Now, yeah, that's very possible. Everybody gets a lot of spam. Again, it's no longer the case. It might have been at one time. No longer the case that you can say, hey, I sent it. You must have gotten it.
Now, are there some markers or something that a system-generated message would send that a person-generated message from a private email?
No. No. But the way spam filters work is they look at characteristics of the mail, and based on the characteristics, they decide that's spam. Now, you should be able to check your Yahoo spam folder to see if it's in there. Now, if you empty that regularly, you empty it all the time. Well, then you can't. Then you know it probably was spammed. One of the characteristics is certainly that it was addressed to more than just you. If you want to keep stuff out of your spam filter, in most cases, adding the sender to your address book will work. But you know. There's all sorts of kind. There's all kinds of spam filters. There's a kind of spam filter called a black hole spam filter that not only does it not go into a spam folder, it doesn't arrive. Mail bounces off the server. I don't know if Yahoo uses black hole servers. They might. So you're just kind of stuck in a loop here. All you can say is, I didn't get it. They can say, well, we sent it. They can't say you got it. They can say, we sent it. But just as with U.S. mail, that's not a guarantee. That's kind of why people sometimes use receipts on mail. You can request a receipt. Doesn't always work either. But if you have a receipt, then you have pretty good It's like sending certified mail through the postal service. You have a pretty good idea that the message did get to where it was going. And these read receipts are triggered by you opening the message. So it, you know, if they say, so that's what you say to them. Say, well, where's your read receipt? Show me the read receipt that proves that I read it, because I never got that message. And I don't know what else you can do past that point. You can't prove you didn't get it either, right? Can't prove the negative. 8888 Ask Leo. Another hour to come of the Tech Guy Show. Give me a ring. Let's talk. Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy. Well, a good day to you, Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy. 8888-ASK-LEO is the phone number. We're talking about computers, the internet, social media, YouTube. We're talking digital photography, cell phones, of course. 888-827-5536. My compadre, Heather Hammond, the queen of this show. I would be the queen of this show, but I don't have the right wardrobe. Is he answering the phones for us?
Have a Halloween costume with a dress once.
I'm trying to live that down.
Private life. Public life.
That's the problem. I have no private life. It's all public now. Thanks to the internet, everything you do.
And the NSA.
Right. If the government doesn't know, my friend, so why not just let everybody know, right? Who should, let's see, do I have somebody or should I go to somebody? I think I talked to Eliezer, so who should I talk to next? Your choice, Heather. You are in charge here. This is the burden. The pressure is on.
It really is. Let's talk to Greg in Riverside.
Are you sure now?
Yes, line four.
Hi, Greg. You're the winner, Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy.
Hey, well, I was looking at her. I'm saying, Greg. She must have
got it. You channeled. Heather picked up the vibe.
Leo vibes.
Welcome.
Thanks for taking my call. I have a wireless issue, but I think you in the chat room will find this very intriguing. So I have an HP notebook, and I operate in my home office over a wired connection. When I go to the local coffee shop and go wireless, it's happened four times now, even if I don't have my wireless connection turned on, there's a function key for that, and I had it turned off. Eliminated the SSID for the wireless connection in the coffee shop. I eliminated it from my directory, right, from the library of what I've already approved.
You told it to forget it.
To forget it, yeah. And I just opened up my notebook, and this morning, this is the fourth time, and
it joins it.
Power button, and then the music stopped because they're running Pandora through the connection. And so he told me, he came right over. He goes, wow, you brought my network down again. And runs his cash register through it, so it wasn't right.
Wait a minute. Every time you join his network, actually, no, every time you turn on the Wi-Fi, you don't even join his network.
I don't even.
Breaks his Wi-Fi.
On. I just powered it on. The Wi-Fi was turned off.
Wow.
Have you ever heard of anything like
no,
that?
No. Obviously, that should not happen. Why is it happening is the question.
Yeah. Now, at first, I thought it was because I've got a running in the background. I've got a Windows 7 machine, and I've got 323 clients. I've got the Polycom CMA desktop, and they're all present.
Yeah, those are for making phone calls. SIP clients for making phone calls.
Yeah, they're 323 clients.
I wonder if that HP laptop, there must be something wrong with a Wi-Fi radio in there that it's just spewing out garbage.
How could it be spewing anything out when I have
Do you have this problem at any well, as soon as you turn it on, you know the radio goes on, obviously. Do you have this trouble anywhere else in any other coffee shops anywhere else?
Well, you know, I haven't tried it anywhere else.
You could be like the Typhoid Mary of Wi-Fi network. You just walk in and the thing breaks. Well, it is possible to do that, by the way. One of the reasons I've heard of Apple iPads and laptops being banned on some college campuses because they do a handshaking thing in such a way that they jam the network. So it is possible that your HP could be doing something that is, I would guess it's particular to his coffee shop. That the DHCP, the handshake that's going on between your computer and his, or attempted, is jamming his system. And I bet you it won't happen elsewhere.
Well, it doesn't happen here with my Asus router that's got a built-in WAP. I mean, I can pull out the cable and then hit the function key that turns right on the radio, and it works.
Yeah.
But I don't understand with the radio turned off, theoretically, when I open up my notebook and just hit the power button to power up
the
notebook.
Oh, I see. You're not turning on the Wi-Fi. It's still off.
Yeah, it's still off. It's got an orange light on indicating it's powered off or not active. And you know, I can test that when I'm running the wireless network here at my office and I hit that orange button, the network indicator on the taskbar, you know, goes into a symbol that says it's disconnected,
yeah,
and I lose my network connectivity. So,
yeah. Huh.
Isn't it odd? I mean, I wonder if anybody has seen a virus or anything that...
No. It's not a virus. Like no.
Or a Trojan or...
So Web3622 is suggesting, and this is a good idea, that instead of just using the button, try disabling it in the control panel for that Wi-Fi, and just see if that same thing happens. It may be that the button isn't really turning off Wi-Fi. I mean, it still shouldn't do any of this. None of this should happen. The Wi-Fi could be on, and it shouldn't happen. It's something else going on.
Huh.
But just check to see if you turn it off in the control panel for the Wi-Fi, if you still have this problem. If you do, then the only thing I can think of is there's something else that your Wi-Fi is emitting.
Sorry, I'm reading the chat.
Yeah, I mean, it's like maybe your laptop is a nuclear power plant. I don't know what it could be doing.
I'll just give it a latte. I like what Chip said there. All right.
So there's some diagnostic stuff you could still do. Do you like go somewhere else, see if the same thing happens? Look in the control panel, see if it's really off. It might just be that the keyboard button, you know, just says don't do anything, but still be on. You know, the transmitter may be still working. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's very odd. And my suspicion is it's a strange interaction between your laptop and his router that is an unusual interaction. It has to do with the dynamic host control or host configuration protocol, DHCP. Mm-hmm. We've seen this before. And as I mentioned, there were college campuses that were banning iPads because they don't do DHCP right. And Apple's had somewhat of a similar problem with its new MacBook Air. The college campuses were saying that these airports were actually clogging the network. iPads were clogging the network, and they didn't want them on the network. It doesn't seem this is very odd.
For an HP, I mean, you'd think it'd be.
Yeah, it's not like the HP has the super duper Wi-Fi connection.
Yeah. Okay, well, thanks for taking my call.
Jim in San Diego has a good one. Make sure you don't have internet connection sharing turned on.
Oh, I don't think so, but I'll get that.
And then I think I'll go back to, you're seeing the chat room, so you're seeing this too. It's probably right. The coffee shop Wi-Fi is probably just, that router is just not, is just tipping over. And you happen to be the, you happen to be the guy who's blowing on it. Fall over. Yeah. Hey, thanks for the call, Greg. If anything else comes up, we'll announce it on the air. We'll put it in the show notes. Our show notes are at techguylabs.com. Great place to go for more information. Jesse in Thousand Oaks. Hi, Jesse. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hey, Leo.
Hey,
how are
Jesse.
You?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. Thanks for taking my call. So I've got kind of a long-winded question for you.
Okay.
I'm shopping for a new laptop PC and considering an Acer V5 571P 6609.
Mm-hmm. The Acers are nice. They're low price. They have made their name offering good quality computers for lower prices.
Okay. It's a 15.6-inch touchscreen Windows 8.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wanting to go. I have an iMac at home. It's that I bought in 2008.
Why are you not considering a Mac then?
Because I am not working.
Yes, so money is an issue. Got it.
Yeah,
got it.
Yeah, and I'm doing volunteering for 3 Ventura County nonprofits.
Aren't
right
you
now.
Nice?
Well, you know, it's what I love doing.
Good for you.
Thank you. And so I'm trying to look for a solution that's going to be scalable as each of them grow.
Yeah.
And I'm also looking.
Hang on, we got to take a break, but this is good. We'll see if we can help you find the right notebook. While we're in the break, think about how much you want to spend. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888 Ask Leo. We're helping Jessie spend a little money. She wants to get a new laptop computer. She's looking at a Windows 8 machine from Acer. What is your budget on this, Jessie?
$1,000.
Oh, that's a lot.
Yeah, but I kind of figure it's worth spending the money to get something that's going to be scalable, you know?
Yeah, you know, I really do believe that, unfortunately, because of the price that... points that fell out of the floor on PCs because of netbooks and so forth. People's expectations really got awfully low, and people want to buy a laptop for $300 or $400 and think it's going to be good. $1,000 is plenty. You should be able to get a very nice. Now, when you say scalable, though, I'm a little worried because, you know, most laptops are not particularly upgradable.
Oh, they aren't?
No. You can add memory. Sometimes you can add extra hard drive or an external hard drive. What is it that what is the scale that you want? What is it that you want to?
You know, I haven't defined that yet, but
You think that you may need a more powerful laptop in time.
Yeah, I sure will. And when I'm working, you know, I can afford to invest in a MacBook Pro or something.
Right. Although I have to say, at $1,000, you can get a MacBook Air for $1,000. Now it's only an 11-inch screen. It's a tiny screen.
Well, that won't work for me because
yeah. And I love these touch screens. I have to say, I'm a little disappointed Apple has not yet adopted these. And with Windows 8, I highly recommend a touch screen. Windows 8 is very touch-focused.
Yeah, it's great, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, if you like it, then I would say that Acer is a good choice.
Okay, I can get it at Costco for like $700.
Yeah, that's a good choice. How much RAM is there in that?
I don't know. I think it's...
It probably 8 gigs is probably enough for the next 5 years, I would
guess. It's got a terabyte of...
Hard drive, yeah.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah, and if you needed more than that, you probably don't. If you needed more than that, then you can always use an external drive. More than a terabyte, you know, if you, is for like video, you know, are you doing video editing or...
I will be.
You will be?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, you will max it out then. Because video editing is the most challenging.
Oh, okay.
And occupies the most hard drive space. So a terabyte hard drive, yeah. I mean, I would look at just Acer, again, is kind of the position themselves as the a low-price, high-end. I have an Acer S7, which I love, but it's a little atypical for Acer. I would also look at, as long as you're looking, Asus.
Oh, Asus.
Asus. Lenovo's very good. Lenovo's really the tough, well-made business computer. You want to look at business-grade computers versus consumer-grade computers.
Okay.
And then finally, Dell is very good as well.
Okay, you're not mentioning HP.
I don't like HP laptops. No.
Okay.
You heard our last caller. He's got a HP laptop that brings a I don't know if that's normal, but I'm not crazy about that. I would get the business-grade Dell, a business-grade Lenovo. Those are the better laptop computers.
Would you pop for the i7 processor?
No, you do not need it.
Okay.
You do not need it. i5, that'll save you some money. Don't get an i3, get an i5.
Right.
If you can get Haswell, you'll get battery life. Is battery life an issue for you?
You know, I haven't worked on a laptop in years. So probably it might be, but I don't really know.
Yeah, it's only, you know, to me, you know, it's always plugged in. I'm either at work or I'm at home.
Right.
I don't spend 12 hours in a coffee shop. And I don't go on 12-hour flights all that often. So, you know, 5 or 6 hour battery life is plenty. But you do get better. You get about 50% better battery life on these new fourth generation i5s.
Fourth generation i5.
So I would look, you know, for a fourth generation i5. I would look for 8 gigabytes of memory. Terabyte's a good size hard drive. Although what you'll see in a lot of these now laptops is they have smaller drives because they use flash drives, solid state drives instead of spinning drives.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be half as big or even less, but, and maybe even more expensive, but they're so much faster. And if you're doing video editing, you can always use an external drive for the big, bulky files. It's nice to have a fast boot up time, fast load time. That makes a big difference. So I would look at an SSD.
SSD?
SSD, solid state drive.
Solid state drive. Okay.
Yeah. That's going to give you a big difference in performance speed. It's funny, we talk a lot about processor speed, but really a fast hard drive might make an even bigger difference.
Okay. And I was thinking of going with Office 365 because do you like that?
Yeah, I do. Choice? Yeah, if you need Office, that's the way to go now.
Okay. And
it's like $10 a month or something, and it's automatically updated. You can install it on a variety of machines. I think that's a good choice. You can even put it on your Mac if you bought Office 365. You get 5 licenses, including Mac.
Yeah. Yeah, I could do that. And then if I'm in a board meeting for one of these nonprofits, then we could pull data up that would be accessible to all the board members.
That's true, too. Yep, because it's online as well as on the hard drive.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much, Leo.
My great pleasure. Good luck.
Okay, thank you.
All right, take care, Jesse. It's hard now because there's so many choices. Same thing in the phone space, the cell phone space. There's so many choices. I celebrate that. I think that's a good thing. I really do. It means it's harder to choose, harder to buy, but boy, there's something for everybody. Martin in Los Angeles, you're next. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Martin.
Hi, Leo. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling. What can I do for you?
Okay, I'm having trouble connecting to my internet. In the past, I've always gotten an open with message box, and I've been able to get on to connect to the internet that way. However, recently, when I tried to go on the internet, it just keeps saying the Windows is not responding. And it just spins and spins.
When you say open with, you're not in your browser. You're in an email program or something like that. Why is it? What's happening? You're clicking a link in another program, and it says open with?
No, just as soon as I'm, from the moment I tried to get onto the internet, to connect to Internet Explorer, that box comes up.
You should never see that box just for that. There's something wrong. There was something wrong. Now it's really messed up.
Right. And that had been happening for a few months.
And when it said open with, what did you say? Internet Explorer?
Well, I would say open with, it says the program you want to use to open this file, and I would click where it says look for the appropriate program on the web.
Oh, man, that's a pain. Every time you had to do that?
Yeah, I didn't mind it because I would be able to connect to the internet.
But now, it's amazing how we get used to the worst situations. That is really annoying. If you click on the Internet Explorer icon, it should just open. It shouldn't say open with what. So there's something messed up already.
Right, right.
Yeah, something messed up already. Have you tried, say, Google Chrome, another browser in there?
No, I have not.
I would try another browser just to see if it's your internet. I don't think it's your internet. I think your browser is messed up. And of course, you can't get on. Can you not get online at all now?
No, I can't at all. It'll just keep spinning. And
yeah, there's something seriously wrong. My guess is that your system could very well have some malware on it. This does not sound right. I'd bring it in to get it checked. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Under the squid port. That's where I'd like to be. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888 Ask Leo. That's the phone number we're talking about. Computers, the internet, cell phones, camcorders, MP3 players. Let's see. Steve is next in Ohio. Hi, Steve. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Is this Leo?
This be he.
To coin a phrase from Wayne's World, we're not worthy.
I trust you're bowing down when you say that.
I am. I made the big jump. I finally upgraded from Windows Vista to Windows 7.
Good jump. Well done.
I take my computer to a shop that been real good in keeping all of my stuff going, and they upgraded to Windows, but they only installed Windows Bit 32.
Ah.
I've got and you said something about you didn't like HP. I've had my HP computer laptop for 4.5 years now, haven't had a bit of problem with it. I got the GT70. It's got a big 17-inch screen on it.
Good man. I'm not going to knock it. If you like it, I'm not going to knock it. Now, how much RAM? How much RAM memory do you have on that machine?
Got 6 gigs.
Okay, so you do want the 64-bit version because 32-bit Windows will only see 4 gigs of RAM.
Okay.
Total. Some of that's eaten up by system memory. So if you have 6 gigabytes of RAM on there, you're not seeing all your memory you've got installed. So you do want the 64-bit version of Windows 7. It's about the only reason I would recommend it. Otherwise, it operates exactly the same. It's not, you know, there's not any real advantage. A lot of times we think it's a bigger number, it must be better. It's not. It's just 64-bit.
Is it easy to do?
Yeah, you have to reinstall.
And just go out and buy a Windows 64-bit and then just...
All Windows 7 disks have both 32 and 64 on it. Do you have a Windows 7 disk when he installed it? Did he give you the disk?
Yeah, he gave me the disk, but all it says on it is Windows 32-bit.
Is it written in Sharpie?
No. It's a genuine Windows disk.
And it says Windows 7 32-bit on the disk?
Yeah.
Oh, well, maybe they did that with some OEM folks. A normal version of Windows 7, even the upgrade disk, will have both 64 and 32 on it. So, yeah, you want to get the 64-bit version.
And they just pop the disk in and install it right over the 32?
No, I think you're going to have to end up wiping it and starting over, yeah.
Well, that's fine. There's nothing on mine that if I lose it tomorrow, it's no big deal.
Okay, this would be a good time to do it. So, yeah, the chat room saying, yeah, it must be an OEM disk, which means a disk that ships with a new computer. Those disks only have one version of Windows. But any disk you buy at retail will have, and you can get the upgrade edition, by the way. You don't need to get the full edition. That'll have 64-bit version on there.
I'll save some money just getting the upgrade then.
Yeah, just get the upgrade. Don't get the full version.
Leo, again, you saved my butt.
Well, you're going to enjoy that. I think Windows 7 is the best version of Windows ever made. I'm not a real fan of Windows 8, as you know. I'm pretty happy. And we're going to put this link in the chat room, but according to somebody, rather on the webpage, somebody in the chat room, you should be able to use the same license key that you've already got. So you may not need to go buy a 64-bit version of Windows. You can download it from Microsoft, put it on a disk, install it, and then use the same license key that you got with your computer. Windows 7 license key, that whichever one you've got is good for both. So you don't need to buy another copy. You can download it from Microsoft. And I have to say, I know there's a definite psychological component to this. People in the chat room are saying, oh, 64-bit runs faster. And it does not. In fact, in some cases, it would actually run slower. There is only one reason to have 64-bit, and that is for addressing a larger amount of memory. And it can cause other issues. It can cause compatibility issues with drivers and so forth. Nowadays, everything's 64-bit. You might as well just go with it. Barbara in Los Angeles, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Barbara.
Yes. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
My name is Barbara, and I live in Los Angeles.
Hi, Barbara.
And I was a caregiver for my daddy for 11 years. And when he was in the hospital dying, I took my computer in every day.
Oh, Barbara.
And I journaled his dying words.
Oh, Barbara.
And they're gone.
Oh, dear. All right. Now, take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. So how long have you... Was this a while ago? Was this recently you did this?
It was in 2012.
Okay. So it was last year.
And this is what happened. I took the computer in every single day, and as he was dying, I would write down his words.
Yeah, I understand. And what? And so they were on that computer.
Yes, sir.
And then what happened to the computer that you've lost it?
You know, it is a Microsoft Works word processor.
I understand.
Microsoft Works word processor.
Yes.
And it's Windows XP.
Okay.
And here's what happened. I was making changes to it. You know, I was putting in new additions or changes. And then a screen comes up. And it says, quote, C, colon, /documents/settings/barbabitar/mydocument/note-god. I call them notes from God or note God. Period, WPS, unquote, is already open. Reopening causes changes to be discarded.
Yeah.
Do you desire to reopen? And I said, okay, because I thought if my changes are discarded, it's no big deal.
Big deal, right, yeah.
I just put in a few changes and I can put them back. And I looked, the next thing I knew, sir, the whole page was blank. 75 75 pages.
Okay.
Now, I went to a friend of my fiancé, and he was able to retrieve it up until December 2011. And I am totally confused that the year he went to be with Jesus in 2012 is all gone.
Well, yeah, I think that almost certainly on the computer, well, I think your friend might have found it. There are backups. As you're making the document, it makes a copy of it.
Yes, sir.
And there should be a backup. Now,
please.
It's always a risk when you do something like this. It's always a risk, and so it's too late now. I'm sorry to say, but for future reference, you never want to just have one copy of that file.
Yes.
Yeah, and so it is completely. I hate to tell you this, possible that it's gone forever.
What?
Well, I just don't know because I don't know what happened. It could be that that error message was a signal that you had a blank document open and you saved it on top of the old document. So the only hope for you at this point is that there is a backup copy. And most of the time, Works does do this. It makes a .bak file. But I don't want you to mess with it anymore because I'm hoping that the fellow who helped you out didn't mess this up either, because these files, I mean, you're hanging by a thread here with these files. You want to make sure that you bring it to somebody who knows what he's doing and can look through this file, this hard drive, and find all the backups and save it. But it's got to be an expert. It's got to be an expert. And I don't want to walk you through anything that would, by accident, delete any data. So I am sure that the data still lives there. I am. But you may have lost a few paragraphs. I don't know. You shouldn't have lost a whole year's worth. It makes backups to my, and this is an old program, but it's my memory that it makes backups on a regular basis. So find a good computer store and bring it in to somebody who really knows what they're doing and ask them to help you here. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I feel so bad for Barbara. Microsoft Works. She's been taking notes as her father was passing away and got lots of notes. Things he talked about, his final words. And unfortunately, due to a mishap, that file seems to have disappeared, at least the notes in it. A friend was able to get her back to 2011, but she's lost all of 2012. Couple of things. Never, ever rely on a computer to save that kind of stuff. You should be always making copies. Print out. You know, a great copy is a printout. Print it out every once in a while. Saving especially a lot of data, 75 pages into a single file, gets more and more risky. Now, Microsoft does, thanks to somebody in the chat room who sent me a link, Microsoft Works will make a backup copy of files as you work, but only if you told it to. So I'm hoping Barbara, at some point when she clicked Save As, she checked the box that says Make Backup Copy, because it won't do it automatically, unfortunately. Microsoft Word will, but Works does not. So there is a backup folder with files with the extension .bps. That's the backup word processor file. So what I would do, Barbara, is search your hard drive for files that have that extension *.bps. That means everything that has .bps at the end of the name. Make a copy of all of that stuff onto a disk, another disk, an external disk, a USB key, something. Before you do anything else, just make a copy of all of those files. Search for .wps files too. Those are the originals. Make copies of all of those. Then bring it into somebody who knows what they're doing. They can maybe do some file recovery. It's not necessarily gone, but it's touch and go, sorry to say. It's touch and go, and I am so sorry that that happened. I'm going to see if I can cheer myself up here after that sad story. You know now, I don't have to tell you. Back it up. Back it up, folks. Mr. Dick DiBartolo is here, Mad Magazine's maddest writer. He's our giz whiz. Joins us each and every week to talk about a gadget of the day. Hello, Dick.
Leo, how you doing?
I'm well. So I was surprised to see that I was actually inadvertently guessed right on last month's What the Heck Is It contest. It was
you did.
It was
you
a slap
did.
Bracelet. It looked like one. I should never have said that.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know what? Sometimes it's fun to do something that's obvious and say, let's see how many people really guess it, or fortunately, most people like the other part of the game.
They prefer to make up a silly answer.
Yeah, exactly. You know, silly, stupid stuff.
So you did have some winners, though, who figured it out.
Yeah, 9 people, and 7 of the 9 knew it was from Night Eyes, and they even knew the name. I think it's called the Slap Light LED.
So it lights up when you slap your wrist with it?
Yes, and then you can hit it for steady or flashing. So if you go out jogging, it's a good safety.
But see, those people won autographed Mad Magazines, but then a lot more people just made up silly answers.
Yeah, exactly. You know, a strap teachers keep rolled up in their desk. And you know,
a Gene Simmons novelty roll-up tongue. That's good.
A lot of Gene Simmons answers.
All right, so this week at GizWiz, or this month at GizWiz.up, is a new picture of a close-up picture of some sort of strange gadget. I'm not going to make any guesses because it's pretty obviously Mickey Mouse ears for rodents. But I'm not going to.
I think it's 4 people talking on Twit on Sunday night in character.
If you want to win an autographed copy of Mad Magazine, gizwiz.biz, that's the place to go. And actually, while you're there, right on the front page, Dick has links to all the gadgets he talks about, including this week's gadget. What is this week's gadget?
This week's gadget, you know, 2 weeks ago was the CE Line show. No 3D TVs, Leo.
None.
Wow. A lot of 4K. You know, it's going to be years before anybody's going to really have a use for 4K, right?
Yeah, because there's no... But, you know, that happened with HD, too. There was no HD content for a while. But once the TVs were out there, people started making the movies. And, I movies are made in 4K now. So it's just a matter of time figuring out some way to get the data there.
Okay. Well, yeah. I'm going to talk about a real cheapy thing that's available now. You know, Westinghouse had a 4K whiteboard that's not coming out till late fall. But SoundPop, and I like this idea. There were a million Bluetooth speakers. I just went from table to table and got to this one table. And the guy said, I have a wireless Bluetooth. I said, sir, unless it does something different.
I've heard them all.
How about it snaps onto the back of your phone, acts as a stand for your phone.
Oh, okay.
Has really decent sound and is just about the size of a baseball and sells for less than $40. I said, I like it. Let me hear it.
It kind of looks like a baseball.
It looks like a blue baseball. Exactly. It comes in many colors. And he said, here, you know, take it home because here in the hall, you really can't tell. The sound is really excellent. I didn't realize, he didn't even mention it at the show. I didn't realize till I was looking at it that there was a picture of a microphone on the side. And it turns out that it's also a speaker for phone calls.
Is that a suction cup on it?
Yes, it's a suction cup.
So it's suction cups onto the back of your phone.
Phone, or it's water resistant.
In the shower.
Slap it on the wall in the shower, not under the water, but up top. Anywhere you want to have music.
Can you speak a little louder? I'm in the shower right now.
And the suction is really very good. And they do tell you, there's a little tab on the side of it, and it said, don't pull it directly off the wall or you can actually damage it. Release it with the little blue tab or whatever. The tab will be whatever color you buy. And on Amazon, this guy is $38. It's called Sound.
It comes in camo, bubble gum, black, orange, yellow, variety of colors too.
Yeah. They're more
zebra stripe, white, royal.
I had navy. It's not even showing navy on that.
Yeah. Wow. Holy cow. I want the zebra stripe one. You never lose that.
No. Well, you, Ozzy, you might mistake
my
dog it for
might
Ozzy.
Eat it, yeah. How much is it?
It's $38 on Amazon, and it's from.
And it sounds okay. What,
yeah, it's, you know, the sound is very decent for its size. Very impressed with it.
Wow.
For its size and price, I say it's a buy.
It's
oh,
a
wait,
buy.
That's the wrong show.
Wait a minute, somebody's sneaking up behind you. Don't look.
Oh, yes, it is. It is service time because Myra's here, and she demands attention. She just slipped me a note and said, I've been here 17 minutes. I don't see food.
Where's my hors d'oeuvres?
Right.
So Dennis has brought down hors d'oeuvres for the Gizwiz and Myra. Stick around. Dick will be doing our Giz Fizz on our podcast network right after the radio show ends. And, of course, every Tuesday we do the weekly show, the Gizwiz, where we talk about gadgets and so forth at 2 p.m.
I have an idea. I know what you're going to talk about on Tuesday.
5 p.m. Eastern.
Is it something being built at this moment?
I don't know. I don't think it's going to be this week.
Oh, it's not. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
We have in our studio intern Jeff Needles, who apparently we pay quite a bit of money to. I thought interns were unpaid, but apparently Jeff, because he is a Lego master, he is building a 4-foot-long replica of some sort of Star Wars starfighter.
Good.
Yeah. Quite a thing.
Yeah, I was watching.
Yeah.
Very impressed. He just
He started at the beginning of the show. I don't know. I don't know exactly how long it's going to take him. He said maybe a couple of days. But look how precise he is. He puts the pieces on the instruction manual to make sure he's got the right pieces. Then he assembles it and he snaps it on. It's quite amazing.
Yeah, this is good. This is preparing him for what?
No idea. It's a good internship.
Okay.
Right. Hey, somebody must have a job doing this.
Yeah, exactly.
Somebody. All right, my friend. Thank you, Dick DiBartolo. The Gizwiz, gizwiz.biz is the place to go if you want to play the What the Heck Is It game in a last chance. Actually, it's a brand new game, so it's just the beginning to win an autographed copy of Mad Magazine. Now, our last call of the day, and that would be Eric in Omaha, Nebraska. Hi, Eric. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hey, Leo. I have a quick question for you for a cell phone.
Okay.
I just got a Galaxy S2 from Ting, and the problem is that it's brand new. Everything's updated, but the battery's only lasting for about 8 hours.
Yeah, that's not unusual, and it takes a lot of playing with Android phones to get the battery life up. Generally, what I've done in the past is just buy two batteries. I have 4 batteries for my Galaxy S4. And, 8 hours is not enough. I think a phone has to go a minimum of 12 and ideally 16 hours so that you can get through the day, sleep 8 hours, charge the phone, get up, and have another 16 hours. But 8 hours is not unusual with Android. A couple of things you can do, turn off Facebook updates. In fact, the updates are what kills battery life on phones. So visit xda-developers.com and look at the battery life postings there. There's some great tips. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Well, that's it for the Tech Guy show for today. I'm Leo Laporte. Thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget, the Tech Guy is just the tip of the iceberg. We do nearly 30 shows now on the Twit Netcast Network, and you'll find them all at twit.tv. We talk about Windows and Windows Weekly, Macintosh and MacBreak Weekly, iPad and iPad Today. You get your daily dose of tech news from Tech News Today and our weekly roundtable show, This Week in Tech. It's all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next time with another great Tech Guy podcast. Thanks for joining me. See you next time.